Now, last week, David Clark, RNIB's Chief Operations Officer, was in the chair for Matt, who was on holiday, but Chief Exec is back for his regular weekly update on some of the big news stories coming from RNIB. Matt, welcome back.
Thank you, Alan. Good to have a few days off, and I'm sure David held the fort incredibly well, but nice to be back talking to you.
He did indeed, and of course we rounded off on football. Anyway, on to today's three topics we're going to chat about today, Matt. And we're going to start off, first of all, looking at energy and a new device we're looking to tell people about or get more information out there about, an accessible in-home display.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, we've got a sort of plank of our strategy, which is called Design for Anyone, which basically is trying to get things for everyday use designed that are fully accessible and absolutely usable by anyone. And clearly there's been more of a sort of rollout of smart meter usage, and yet they need to be accessible. And we've been working with one of the main smart meter display manufacturers called Geo and the energy industry, including a trade body, which is Energy UK, to develop the accessible in-home display, which fundamentally allows blind and partially sighted people to, in conjunction with a smart meter, to really understand how much energy people are using and help manage energy bills. And some of the functionality of these AIHDs is much larger tactile buttons, a more high contrast display, and a text to speech function. And critically, these are available from energy suppliers at no extra cost. So there's no penalty for anybody wanting not only a smart meter, but the AIHD that sort of sits clearly on top of it or aligned with it. You know, what this does is provide accurate rather than estimated energy bills. You can budget a bit more easily, as I sort of noticed last week myself, actually. And, you know, we're going to be pushing these as RNIB through a variety of channels, including Collect Radio, in fact, just to make sure people understand it and getting engaged with their energy supplier to get one of these to make the whole process easier, be able to see what's going on, but hopefully as well, you know, in the cost of living crisis, be sort of thoughtful and prudent in how much energy people are using.
Yeah, as Matt said, listen out for those on RNIB Connect Radio over the coming weeks. Great piece of technology news, which I suppose also keeps us on the topic, Matt, of cost of living, because, you know, RNIB has been doing a lot with other charities discussing this, you know, at the parliamentary level, but also providing lots of information via the website and social media to blind and partially sighted customers.
A whole ton of pressures that clearly won't go away and will be with us well into next year, but we need to respond. And the other thing we should also just comment on is about the change in government and a new date on November the 17th for the autumnal statement, financial statement. You know, that will have an impact on this for us and others, because clearly it will pronounce on welfare, universal credit. It'll talk probably to the energy bill support, you know, that at the moment is capped to the end of April. And I think we'll get a clearer sense of the, you know, the government support package that will be available, which clearly will have a massive impact on our beneficiaries. So there's lots of new news emerging all the time. It's very real time. I mean, the point about talking about LNG today is not that I've got any new silver bullet particularly, but just to update listeners that, you know, we're talking very proactively to energy companies, retailers, sector organisations, talking to our peers, you know, within a variety of charity groups, to really make sure we're trying to do the best job we can to surface the most appropriate help that is available. And I would just encourage your listeners to keep checking in, particularly on our website. I'm looking at it now as I'm speaking to you, where in the Living with Sight Loss section, you can go through and find a variety of up-to-date information. I'm just looking at a page on free mobile data packages, for example, where we've partnered with UK Online Centres Network's National Data Bank to provide 6 month mobile data packages. And there's a variety of other information and practical support like this. And I would just encourage your listeners to sort of keep going and refreshing and looking at our website to find this information and, you know, engage with it, because it will point you to help, advice. It might point you to, you know, packages and financial opportunities that exist as well to provide support. And we will leave no stone unturned in what we can. And we had a meeting today in the organisation which confirmed some letters imminently going out to retailers to try and help, for example, making sure that blind and partially sighted people can access all the sort of value deals and the deals that they're putting on and not leave those sort of hidden from blind and partially sighted people. That's one example. We're also engaging with three energy providers to try and get some particular help for blind and partially sighted people. So, you know, our work goes on. It'll go on for a long time. Can't promise we're going to unearth massively beneficial opportunities, but there's this sort of dogged, relentless approach we're taking. And there's lots of very, very useful information on our website. And as I've just highlighted with the free mobile data packages, some very practical support that's available that people can use if they access our information.
And we'll give you the contact details a little bit later. We started, Matt, talking about accessible technology. Let's move on to accessible information. I suppose slow burn is the word for this, and it's all about making health information more accessible.
Not only in our beneficiaries' routine engagement with, for example, health service, but also, you know, through COVID, how information was communicated out to society, which clearly didn't give a lot of thought to having it in accessible formats, whether that was coming from the government, NHS, Public Health England, whomever. There were critical comms on lockdown, on vaccines, on social distancing, on testing, you know, all of which weren't accessible. So we've been banging the drum on this for a long time. We've had some wins in COVID, and there's legislation there actually, which means that, you know, health service providers particularly should be providing information in formats that people can use. And we will be working with the health service on a campaign as we go into the new year about this. Why we're talking about it again today is not only is it important, you know, with the cost of living crisis, information needs to be circulating the way that people can access. But, you know, our own chair, Anna Tyler, has been going through a process which has been speaking very openly about. You know, she's had breast cancer and has been going through treatment process for the last sort of 6 months, and this will last into next year. And she's had a patchy experience of engaging with the health service on what is obviously a very critical issue. And she's wanted to use her experience to talk publicly about the sort of generic challenges of accessible comms. And I know she's had some personal interviews on Connect Radio. I'm sure people might have heard those, but, you know, it's important, I think, for me to talk about it as well, to sort of back it up and show our organisational support for Anna, and also particularly what we're trying to do to improve accessible comms. There is a podcast on BBC Sounds, Access All, where Anna has spoken to their disability sort of correspondent. We've got a first person piece in the Metro, which again is on their social media feed as well. The general point is accessible comms, massively important. It is particularly important within a health service environment where, you know, people will be going through potentially a very difficult sort of experience, need to understand and know all the data. And, you know, Anna has got her own very real-time experience of that at the moment.
For all the details and the topics we've been discussing, do go to rnib.org.uk. Call the helpline on 0303 123 9999. You can also ask your Amazon Echo device to call RNIB's helpline. Out of time, once again, Matt, we shall catch up again next week. But thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, thanks, Alan. I can't promise you a closure on football like David Clark, but I think there's three pretty meaty items there that I think show, you know, how the RNIB is really sort of facing into some of the challenges society faces at the moment. And, you know, I'm privileged to share that with your listeners. Thank you.